Morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Wonder how many feel like you are that. It's not something we naturally feel for most of us. Why don't we all just rise for a word of prayer? Our Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name this morning. We thank you for this good privilege that we have of being together as a body, as a church, people who love you and want to serve you. Lord, this morning we ask that you would just come and speak to every one of our hearts. I pray that you would inspire us. I pray that you would just do something in our life and in our hearts as we look at this idea of being a good influence on other people and being an example. Lord, help us to think rightly about this and not get puffed up or not be proud or feel like we are the ones that know everything. But Lord, help us to just have a true heart of serving you and serving other people. So just come and be with us and speak to our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the title of the message this morning is an example of the believers, and it's kind of the opposite of what the last sermon was about, the idea of influences coming in and we have to be careful about it, we have to watch out. This morning it's more a positive sermon of us being an influence for other people. Now, I don't know, do I dare ask everybody, like, how many of you feel that you're a good influence on other people? How many of you feel like there's other people here in the church that are a good influence on you? Yeah. So we have it, and yet it's something we don't typically think of ourselves as being and doing. And I brought a little example, a little picture for us. I just want to get it out of our hearts and minds that when we talk about influence, that it is about ourselves. It is not about us. It is about what God gives us and us passing that on. I brought some candles along. I'll pass a couple out. Some of them are big candles, some are small candles, and I hope you don't take offense by which one you get. It has nothing to do with you personally. I'll pass out the big ones first and then pass out a couple of small ones. Here's a small one. You want a small one? Excuse me. There you go. I wish I'd have big ones for everyone, but I don't. Let me just do a couple in the back here yet. There you go. Do you want a candle? Do you want one? There you go. You want to pass one on over? All right. So as we think of the light and the life that we receive from Jesus Christ, and we think of passing it on to other people. That's a little windy right here. Have to see if I can get this to light. I have to move a little bit slowly here. So, I think it's a good example. Our walk with Christ is a pretty fragile thing at times. can we maybe just turn the fans off for a second? I think this is just a really good example. I want everybody to get this. So So first, we can have a direct impact on other people's lives. And then it can also be secondary. So as I light your candles, why don't you go find someone else that has a candle that isn't lit and light theirs? All right, can we do that? All right, so do you get the picture of what I'm trying to portray here? That us being a good example is not about my candle, it's about the light, it's about the fire, and what we're doing is passing that on to other people. So it's not, there's a right way to think of ourselves as having influence on other people. Now, we see lots of people who have wrong ways of thinking about that, and they think it's about themselves. It's not. It's about God and about His work and us spreading that around. This morning we're primarily going to speak about it within the brotherhood. Often when we talk about spreading the word of God, it's the people outside the church. This morning I think the focus is going to be of believers, example to the believers. All right, you can go ahead and blow out your candles. And I don't know if you have a good place to put them. Maybe just hang on to them. So let's ask the question, who is the most influential person in history? Or who influenced more people than anybody else throughout history? We have an answer. Who is that?
Christ.
Okay. He was the most influential for good. For good. But just in general, yes.
You're talking about a person, right?
Yeah. Well, no, just who has the most that something started with them and it spread the furthest. Adam? No? Yes? No, talk about person. Person. You're very close with Adam, but who influenced Adam? Eve. Stop and think about it. Eve was the person who most influenced the most people throughout all history. And I'm sure at the time she had no idea what she was doing. Now, if you think of the most positive influence, without doubt, it's Christ. There's no close seconds to that. And I think it goes to show that passing on bad influence is easier than passing on good influence. Everybody can do the passing on bad influence, but it takes Jesus in our life for us to pass on good influence. All right, and I was just really blessed with what we heard in the opening and the children's lesson. It goes perfectly with this idea of having a good influence on other people. Even to this day, Noah is a good influence upon us. Think about that for a second. We read the story. We see his faith. We see his obedience. And it inspires us to do the same. So even today, Noah has a big influence upon people's lives. All right, so being a godly influence is different from guiding people from a place of authority. So when we're talking about influencing people, we're not necessarily talking about doing it from a place of authority. All of us here have different levels of people that we have authority over. You know, lots of parents here. You have authority over your children. You're guiding them, and they are expected to honor and respect and obey you. But when we're talking about this thing about being a godly influence, these are people who are not necessarily under your authority. Does that make sense? These are people that don't necessarily have to do what you say. So how do we do that? You know, it's easy to tell people, like, all right, you go do this, and it happens. But how do you influence people in a godly way? To me, influencing is the opposite of, you know, having the spirit of a king and telling people what to do. It is more about having a servant heart and serving other people. It's blessing, encouraging, edifying, speaking truth to them, pointing them to what the Bible says. So this idea of being a godly influence is for all believers. It is not just for those who are specifically in authority in a specific place. So everyone that is born again this morning and is serving God, walking with Him, has a responsibility to be an example of the believers and to be a godly influence. So it touches every one of our lives. It's easy for us to pass this off as something that, well, you know, that's for Brother Mark, that's for David, that's, you know, for Jared, that's, you know, that's for Dirt, you know, Joel, you know, that's them. But this, what we're talking about this morning, is for everybody that is born again and serving God. We all have areas of need in our life, but if we are following God, we also have areas of strength. Now, it's often very true that we think about our weaknesses more than about our strengths, and, you know, some of that is okay. We're trying to grow, but if we are serving God, we have areas of strength in our life, and there are people around us that need what we have. Think about that for a minute. Every one of you, and especially you youth, think about this. Now, even though you might have needs in your life, you might feel immature, there are people around you that need what you have a strength in. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I just read a little bit here. This passage gives us a picture of what all of us should be striving for as a brotherhood, as a body, as a church. I'm going to read this so that we see the need of working together and edifying each other, encouraging one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 16. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace. Every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also first, or descended first, into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He asked the question this morning, do we as a church body, or even those who aren't necessarily a part of the body here, do we see this as being perfect in our congregation or wherever we're at? Do we see it as being perfect? I don't think so. We're not. We still have needs. We still need to grow. And that is why this idea of being a good influence on other people is so important, because we all work together for this idea of being the perfect body of Christ. It's something that we strive for, that we look for. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The last part of this verse actually gives the idea that we as a church, as we all press in and we work together, that we can actually make increase. Or in other words, we can all grow and become more into what God really desires every one of us to be. That's amazing. That as we press into that, every one of us, not just certain people, but as all of us press into this, that we can actually have a growth within our church. Everybody can and should have a burden to be a good influence for others. We should have a desire to see others full of faith and be all that God planned for them. That's what our burden should be. That everyone that we know, everyone that is within this body, is everything that God wants them to be. That's why we have this thing of influencing other people. It's because one person has a need in one area and he's strong on the other side. There's other people who are strong in this and weak in this, and as we work together and as we open our hearts together, that we can actually grow together. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. So when we talk of being an influence, what are we specifically talking about? What part of our life? So this was Paul writing to Timothy, and here's what he said. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And that's where I got the title of this message this morning. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Those are specifically different parts of the Christian life that all of us, how should I say this? Different parts of the Christian life that make our walk with God complete. Some of us, excuse me, some of us might be stronger in this thing about the word, about how we talk. Some of us, our speech is at a better place than what others is. Other people, this idea of conversation or our life, there's other people who their life, just the way they live, is at a better place than other people. And we can go on throughout the list, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. So all of us need influence from other people to help us grow in these things, and then all of us also need to be giving to other people. So let's just take these in word. What should our words be like? How are we an example in our words? You know, our words should be building up, should be edifying, should be blessing other people, should be encouraging, shouldn't be, you know, tearing people down, shouldn't be making people discouraged. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. James 3:2, for if in many things we offend all, if a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So our words are very important, and we need to be in the will of God by the way we talk. And we need to be an example of that. In conversation, I would think of conversation as our walk with God or our daily lifestyle. Philippians 1, verse 27, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In charity, 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all things be done with charity. You know, and as I go through these different things, I want you to get the picture of these are things that you're helping other people with. I'm not telling you these things that you need to be perfect in these things and exhorting you about it, but I'm showing it to you because lots of you are really good examples of this, and I want to stir that up, that you have that within your heart, that wherever you go, you're in a good example of this. Does that make sense? Take this as an encouragement, as a just like blessing you, like let's go for this, not as a like, oh, like you're just not doing a very good job of this and you need to like straighten up a little bit. In spirit, spirit can also be maybe mean attitude or just the way, like our outlook of life, how we come across. And this is one that is really contagious, you know, just our spirit. Somebody walks in the room and they just have this blessed attitude, the spirit, and it brings peace and calm to other people, brings encouragement. And then, you know, it's the opposite of coming into a room and everybody's like, oh, well, he's here now, so. Like having a good spirit and attitude can just be a real blessing and an influence upon other people. Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Gives a picture of dysfunction, something that's been destroyed. But having a good spirit, good attitude is like a really good city that's functioning well. in faith. Let's be an example in faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's be an example of this. Let's encourage and inspire and influence other people to have more faith. It's interesting, even, you know, in times of sickness, in times of things go wrong, we can be a really good influence on other people about this. Probably more than we can when everything's going well. You know, someone has to go to the hospital, they're sick, and we're still full of faith, and we pray to God, and we seek after him, and that's just a really good example of, you know, having the faith, believing. And then finally, in purity of heart and mind. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, I think we can just be a really, really big example in this area of purity. You know, we live in a world that's so defiled and so corrupt, so unjust, so wrong, and we can just be this example of purity, of being who God wants us to be. So these are the things that Paul wrote unto Timothy. I'll just read this verse again. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. All right, so how do we really influence other people? How does this actually happen in our everyday life? What are some things that are very important if we want to have this? As I was thinking about this, the first thing that came to my mind as being probably the most important is love. If we want to be an influence for God, we must have our hearts full of love for God and then for other people. I think this is just one of the most important things that we can think about. I'm just going to jump ahead a little bit of something that I wrote. You must have and show true love in order to be able to influence effectively. Going about our Christian walk with only a little love in our heart and actions will hinder our influence. If people don't feel your love, they will tend to perceive you as being self-righteous. Think about that for a second. Not saying that you are self-righteous, but they will perceive you that way. So as we as a church gather together and we don't just have the love of God flowing in our midst, like we look at each other and like, well, you know, that's just him and that's how he does things, but I'm not going to open my heart to that. But there's something about a true love flowing to someone else, and that makes them open their heart and receive good influence. It just does. Like if we have a selfish inward view on life, you'll come across that way to other people, that you just care about yourself and you don't have a true love and concern. And they tend to kind of keep you at arm's length. Yeah, they might be influenced a little bit, but it definitely hinders it. But when we have a true love in our heart for somebody and we have this relationship, then we can be more effective and most effective in actually influencing people. And I think we need to be careful not just to be like, okay, well, I'm going to show love and try to put something on our face and then try to influence people. That doesn't work. They see right through that. Love is not a means to an end here, but love is, like, we need to have this love to even be at a good place where we can influence people. So, you know, if we don't have this love, people don't feel this love, your life and words will come across as being only about you. Having and showing love will open their hearts to your input. So I would put love as one of the greatest things that we need to have as a brotherhood, just have this love flowing in our midst, and then we're able to inspire each other, encourage each other, and bless each other, and have a good influence upon each other. I see that as just being very, very important. Turn to John chapter 21. Excuse me. John chapter 21, verse 15 through 19. Now, in this passage, there's a very interesting thing going on. So when John wrote these words, we think he wrote it in Greek. That's the only manuscripts that we have are the Greek manuscripts. So we think he probably wrote this in Greek. And we're thinking probably at the time of Jesus when he was actually saying these words and this conversation happening back and forth between him and Peter, that they're probably talking in Aramaic. But it's interesting how John wrote these words, and when he talks about love here, he uses two different words in Greek. And I think he was describing what was happening in Peter's heart and mind, even though Peter might not have necessarily used these words and thought about it. You know, we know there's, in Greek, there's three different words. The first is agape. We're very familiar with that. It's just this unconditional love. It's what we would say that we have toward God. It's what we foster within, you know, the brotherhood, this agape love. And then it's also the word phileo, which is more of a brotherly love or a friendship. You know, your neighbor next door, he's a friend. And then the last one would be eros, which would be more of a romantic love. But when Peter when John is writing these words about what happened here when Peter and Jesus were going back and forth in this conversation, he uses the two different words for love. He uses one, the agape love, and then he also uses the word phileo. And so let's read this. And when we read this, I'm going to put, or I'm going to also read the Greek word that he's using here, and let's get the picture. John chapter 21, verse 15 through 19. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou, or agapio, thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love, or here he uses the word phileo, thee. Isn't that interesting? So John is saying that Jesus was asking, do you actually have this agape love for me? And then Peter turns around and says, well, I have this phileo love for you. Isn't that interesting? Let's keep going. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou, or agapio thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love or phileo thee. He saith unto him, Feed, or more accurately would be, shepherd my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah. This time Jesus turns around and says, Lovest thou or phileo thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest or phileo thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love and phileo thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. It's interesting. So John was saying that Peter was loving Jesus as a friend. And Jesus was asking, Do you love me unconditionally, or this agape without reserve? Very interesting. And like I said before, I don't think that they were having this conversation in Greek. So they were having it in Aramaic. And so it seems that Peter probably said, I love, same as we would in English. He was saying the same word back, but John was saying there's actually a different type of love that was here. And I think it's so important that within our life and within our congregation, as we have a brotherhood, it's so important that we have the right kind of love for each other. It's not just a brotherly love, love of a neighbor, love of a friend, but this is the agape love. And then the three things that Jesus gave back in response to Peter was, feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, and then feed my sheep. And it's interesting that he is asking about love, and then he says, this is what you are to do to other people. And I think it's very important that within our life, if we want to have influence and bless other people, this has to be in order. So he goes on in verse 18, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. It's interesting, right at the end of this, Jesus gave the prophecy that Peter will actually have this love, and he's going to follow God, and he's going to follow Jesus, and he's going to have a care for other people to the place where they're going to take him and they're going to kill him. He told him, you will have this. You know, when you were young, you just took care of yourself. But you're actually going to be at a place where you put others before yourself and you put me before yourself. And because of your love of God and your passion for serving other people and preaching the gospel, it'll actually cost you your life. You're going to go ahead and do that. Very interesting. Love is putting God and others before ourselves. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So here he says that we are to have the same love that he has for us toward other people. That's a pretty big challenge for us, isn't it? Jesus loved us enough that he came down from heaven, took upon himself the form of a man, became a servant because of his love for us. And then he suffered and died because of his love for us. Now he's saying that I want you to have this same love for other people. God, help us with that. You know, and I appreciate what I see here in the brotherhood. I feel loved here in the brotherhood. But let's just keep this on the top of our hearts and minds that let's just love each other without reserve. In Colossians 3:14, it says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." In other words, it's saying that this love is what brings you together and makes you one. It's the bond that brings people together. If we want to have a good relationship with other people, we need to have this charity or this sacrificial love. All right, the next title here that I have is Live. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. So, as we serve God faithfully and we walk with Him, it has a powerful influence upon other people without us necessarily trying to go and teach people or try to push things on others. Just simply our life and us being walking with God will have a tremendous influence on other people. Galatians 5, verse 13 through 26. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. Just be serving God, doing His will, opening our hearts to God. Having this commitment within our heart to walk according to the Spirit of God. You know, sometimes it might be the question, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? But we walk according to the Spirit of God. I think that'd be a little bit easier to understand. In other words, all that the Spirit of God is teaching us through the Bible, through the Word, through bringing burdens and impressions upon us, that we walk in that according to what He's teaching us. Verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." And I would say the admonition out of this scripture for us this morning is simply to be walking in the Spirit, to have the fruit of the Spirit just coming out of our lives, this thing of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. All these things should just be coming out of our life. And that will have an influence on other people. It will. It will bless them. It will encourage them. It will cause them to be able to say, you know what? God is working in their life. He can work in mine. And they're going to open their life up to that more and more. Walk in the Spirit, not in selfishness. Now, do any of us have selfishness in our lives? I think that kind of comes natural, doesn't it? It just does. Selfishness is something that really gets in the way of us being an encouragement and a blessing to other people. It does. You know, we could talk a lot of different things about selfishness, how it expresses itself in our life, but I think it's just good to this morning just think for a little bit. How much selfishness is there? Is there areas in my life that I know that are selfish that I need to change? You know, I don't know that we can be completely perfectly or be completely perfect in this area. And I don't think we have condemnation with that. You know, we do live in the flesh. But if there's something this morning that's in our heart that we know, here's an area of selfishness that I have that I'm hanging on to and that I'm pushing other people away from my life with, I think we need to just take a look at it and see what can we do to take care of that issue. A selfish person is not pleasant to be around. And, you know, like I said, we probably can't all be perfect in this. But if there's big things in our life that we walk in selfishness, I think we do well to just consider that. All right, let's turn to Matthew 5. We'll read verse 3 to 16. And we could preach an entire sermon out of this portion right here. But I think I'll just read it and make a couple of comments and keep moving. But this is just a very important message that Jesus preached, and we can learn a lot from it. So let's just read. Matthew 5, verse 3 to 16. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And I think if we could have this in our life and walk according to this, we'll be a good influence on other people. We just take this scripture right here. For poor in spirit, we mourn, we're meek, we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we're merciful, we're pure in heart, we're peacemakers, persecuted for righteousness' sake, and just bear it. I think we'll just be a good influence on other people. We'll help other people. We'll encourage them. We'll draw them closer to God. Going on in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is there thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden underfoot of men? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And in this particular instance of Jesus teaching this, I think he was just referring to, in a very quiet way, living our lives for him. This talking about being a light, putting our candle on a candlestick. It's not about us being big, showy, and trying to, tell everybody, like, we're the ones that are right. Now you need to do it the way we do it. In this passage here, he's simply saying that you just live your life, you follow me, and you will be like this. You'll stand out. You'll be a light. And in a dark place, people just see, well, here is the life of God living in this man. You'll be that. All right, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12 to 16, coming back to this verse, but we'll take it a little bit further. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12 to 16. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Now this was written to Timothy, who was a young man that Paul had met on one of his missionary journeys. Timothy received the gospel, and he was made an elder or leader, and yet he was still a very young man. And Paul was giving him this encouragement that even though you're a youth, even though you're young, you can still be an example. And I think it applies to all of us, not just to some of us. It's interesting that even in this passage it says, let no man despise thy youth. In other words, there's no one that is too young to be a good influence on other people. That's for everyone. Verse 15 says, if we meditate upon these things and give ourselves wholly unto them. In other words, if we seek after God, we meditate, and we give ourselves wholly unto that, it says that thy profiting may appear unto all. In other words, that the life that you're receiving from Christ is going to come forth out of your life, and other people are going to be able to see that. And then the last part of verse 16, in doing this thou shalt save, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and then them that hear thee. Giving the indication that as we follow Christ and as we do his will, we actually have influence upon other people. Actually, it says save them. Now we know that we of ourselves cannot save anyone, and yet the life and power of God working within us, as we do that, it will direct other people to Jesus, who's the one who will save them. So there is a sense that what we do actually has the power to save people. All right, and then the last one I have here is communicate. This is more on to do with our words. I think it's important that we have the love, and then we have our life in a good place, and then we're able to communicate with our words. We can't just start with trying to influence people with our words and not loving them, and our life be in a wrong place and be effective. We can't. We have to have the other two in place, and then this thing of communicating with other people can become very powerful. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. It's interesting that in this passage, it gives the idea that even just singing for someone can be a powerful influence. Now, who all can sing? Good. So can you be an influence for God with your mouth? Yes. You know, we come together on a Sunday morning, we sing and have a great time here, and we praise God for that. But there's many people who aren't able to come to a church service like this. Even this idea of going to the county home this afternoon, you going and singing for people, that's a powerful testimony. There's probably people there who are converted, who are old, who are living in a nursing home, and I'm sure it's very discouraging. They don't have maybe close family that's taking care of them. But you going and singing has a big influence upon their life. I remember when my dad was sick, he wasn't able to go to a church service for long, and there's people who would come and sing, and I got to appreciate that more than I ever did, and I felt like they couldn't come often enough. Now, sometimes we feel like, well, we went to the neighbors and sang 2 months ago, so they don't want us to come again. We tend to think that way sometimes. But people need singing, and singing once a week isn't too much for a lot of people. Now, obviously, it's not always practical for us to do that. But I just want to put that encouragement out before you that when you go to other people who love the Lord and have a desire to serve him, but they're maybe sick in different places, you just going and singing has a very, very powerful influence upon their life. It'll bring fresh courage and strength to them in ways that you maybe have a hard time understanding. Because we have it so freely here. We come together and we sing. But people who don't have this, it's very precious. All right, so as we let this word of Christ dwell within us, we pass it on to other people. You know, in this passage, it talks about singing, but I think also just the word of God, sharing the word of God with other believers, with other people in church. You can open your mouth or you can send a text with a verse that has a powerful influence on other people, just encouraging, blessing. All right, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. Hebrews 3, verse 6 through 19. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For someone they had heard did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they would not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So that we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. In this passage, it specifically is talking about the need of us to stay faithful unto the end, to be able to be accepted by God when he comes back, or when we die and go to meet him. There's an importance for us to be steadfast. And it says that we can help each other with that. We can actually help each other be steadfast. It uses the word exhort. It says, exhort one another daily while it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So exhort has a couple different meanings. It can be more to invite or to call near, to invoke, or it can be beseech, where you're more asking. You call for, it can also be like to comfort, to entreat, to pray. So as we, as a brotherhood, exhort each other daily, in other words, we are calling each other to continue to be faithful. We're calling each other to continue to follow what is in the Word. You know, it seems in this life there is a shortage of people who can just in a very nice way go to people and say, hey, you know what, I see a need in your life, and can we discuss it? I just want to share this with you and actually bring direction in a good way. It seems overall it's a lot easier just to kind of bottle up within your, you know, oh, that person, you know, and then finally gets too bad, and then you kind of splash something out, you know, and make a remark about something they're doing, or, and, you know, it's hard, but I'd encourage, let's all of us just have this idea that we are exhorting each other daily, and we're just be able to talk about things, and we're able to encourage each other, able to give direction in good ways, you know, when we see needs in other people's lives, we can just encourage them to be walking in the right way. Now, you know, obviously there's different ways to approach people. Sometimes it needs to be more gentle. Other people, you know, it needs to be more strong. You know, we need to be sensitive to the Lord with all that. But let's have a heart of just being able to, in a good way, speak into each other's lives. Because we need that. We all want to be faithful. We all want to make it to the end, be standing before God and have our lives at a good place where his mercy and grace is upon us. But let's encourage each other with that. So in closing, this, I guess the burden of my heart this morning is that we see that every one of us, we actually can be an influence upon other people. You know, that's something that I don't typically think of myself in that way. You know, I grew up as the youngest child in a family of eight. Went to school at a place where, it was an Amish school, and I was kind of an outsider, and I didn't fit in the best with all the others, and for me, it was kind of a tendency just to not really think that I would have a whole lot of influence on other people. And probably to this day, I probably don't. But I think it's important for us to realize that we can and we should be purposeful in our life and our actions with each other. So God bless you with that.